Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
As I said, we've seen young guys come out and play well before in the playoffs. Magic, heck, 42-15-7 playing center in, as a rookie in the NBA Finals. We remember that. Michael Jordan, second year, Rob, in the league, put 63 on one of the greatest teams ever, Boston.
Right. They lost, 1986. But I remember that very vividly.
And no three-pointers, Rob. That's the. I don't even think he attempted a three-point shot.
Three-pointers back then were, we're down by three and we need a three.
Exactly. It was like almost a trick shot. You know what I mean? It was like, nobody taking threes. But my point is this. Think about scoring 63 with no threes. Like, I mean, you balling. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are attacking the rim, which we know Jordan did with abandon early in his career. Now, you know, it's still impressive if a guy gets 50 or 60 points, but that three-pointer helps. That three-pointer helps a lot, Rob. So, yeah, I'm looking at Jordan when he got to 63, 0 for 0 from three-point land.
Yeah, that's amazing. Like, you could never imagine that now.
No.
And if Jordan was now, he'd be a great three-point shooter. You already know.
Totally
that.
Agree.
A, he would. I don't care what
and
anybody says, because he made himself a great – great jump shooter, Chris. When he first came in the league, it was a lot of dunks going to the basket. The Pistons and Knicks fixed that. So then he decided, okay, I'm not going to be around the league long if I keep taking my life into my own hands.
Right.
And then became a great jump shooter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So my point is this. The young guys, they're balling. We got to give them props. Devin Booker. 27 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists he's averaging. On, Rob, 50-40-90. 50-41-91 to be exact. Donovan Mitchell, 32 points, 5 assists a game. Trae Young, 29-10 per game. Luka Doncic was 35, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds in his series. And he was 49-40-53, he can't shoot free throws. But, you know, he lit up the Clippers, obviously. Ja Morant, 30 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds a game, Rob, in his first round series with Utah. And Jason Tatum, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Here's what I want to throw out at you. So those are a lot of young guys, you know, really playing excellent basketball in the playoffs. Which youngster to you has been the most impressive so far in these playoffs?
Trae Young from the standpoint of he came out of nowhere. I mean, a lot of people picked the Knicks in that series, didn't really think that much of Atlanta. They win that series pretty easily. What he was able to do being the bad guy at Madison Square Garden, going to Philadelphia, winning game one. The Hawks have really, really, like, put a stamp on it. And maybe other players will go further, and they've had a taste. Donovan Mitchell last year, I remember, in the bubble, Chris, they won their first game and lost the next four, if I remember correctly, when they lost to Denver.
Well, they were up 3-1 on Denver, right? So they lost the next three, yeah.
Yeah, they were up 3-1, exactly. They were up 3-1, and then they choked that down. So they've been in the playoffs before. They've had, you know, been in circumstances, situations. But here's a guy who's totally fresh to it, and yet he's not just putting up numbers. They're winning. They're winning and winning convincingly. I just think he has been a surprise where some of the other guys, even in Devin Booker's case, and there's no knock on Devin Booker and what he's done, having Chris Paul makes a big difference. I don't know if I look at the Hawks, I can say he has somebody who's been through those. Right, he doesn't have anybody. You know, like,
he's the leader.
Who's been through the wars, or been through the battles, you know? So that's why I would pick Trae Young. I just love what he's been able to do. And to see the difference between him and Luka's, his team, Trae Young's team, wins.
You would have went with Luka had they won that series.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because then that would have been a huge upset to me and what they were able to do. And then I think that he would have turned the corner because they lost to the Clippers last year. You know what I mean? He would have made a step. But he didn't make a step this year despite the numbers.
Rob Parker. This is growth. This is growth. I want all of you out there in Radio Land to understand what you just heard. Because Rob Parker never gives the light-skinned brothers any love.
Stop.
For him to give Trae Young that kind of love, Rob, that's growth.
I'm just going on how he's played. It has nothing to do with light skin.
I'm touched.
Seriously.
My goodness. This is growth, folks. This is growth. Mark it down. June 11th.
I love how he's played. Light skin, brown skin, dark skin.
He is balling. Look, yeah, you laid out a good argument for Trae. Obviously, he's playing well. And to your point, I mean, I think, Rob, he's not going to be I don't know if you disagree. I doubt you do. He'll never be the best player in the league. He's going to be up there. He's going to be an all-NBA guy and, you know, perennial all-star and all that. But he is going to be, I guess you'd say, maybe one of the faces of the league, right? And he's a good face, Rob, because his game, obviously, with the long shots, and he'll nutmeg some dudes, you know, go throw the ball between their legs. He's got a lot of flash and swag to his game. So he's fun to watch. But he's also got a little villain in him, Rob. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost like I'm not going to put him on this level yet, but you see a little potential here, like Reggie Miller. As far as, you know, the villain loving the garden, coming, the crowd going at him. And if he's going to be a top player and he's willing to go at, because you know, Rob, when they go elsewhere, those fans are going to try to mimic what the Knicks fans did. And so a lot of places he goes, he's going to get booed. They're going to be chanting about him, and he's going to soak it up. And so I think that's always good TV and good drama, Rob. Good fun.
No, I mean, that's what sports is supposed to be like. You know, like people taunting you and you overcoming, or I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen it, you know, at ballparks, baseball, basketball, you know, not so much as football, but basketball and baseball, definitely. You could taunt somebody. They're at the plate. They're at the free throw line. Right. You know what I mean? Trying to get at them, or every time they touch the ball. We've seen that when Kyrie went to Boston, Chris.
Right.
You know, like, so that's a part of the game. So, yeah, and he embraces it. He's not running from it.
All that said, I'm going to go with Donovan Mitchell, Rob. And like I said, you make a good argument for Trae. But I think, and obviously they haven't solved him, but I think Philly may have figured some things out with Trae. Because in the second half of game one, remember, he lit him up in the first half, had over 20 points, I believe, in the first half. And in the second half, he had 10, which isn't horrible. I mean, but he only had 10 points. And that was when they put Simmons on him. They had Matisse Thybulle on him. They trapped him. They got the ball out of his hands. And their length, I mean, they're a long team on the perimeter, Philadelphia. And I think it bothered Trae a little bit. In the second game, he goes for 21. And which, again, not horrible, but obviously he didn't light them up. And in this game, he's got 5 points. It's early, still the first quarter, but he's got 5 points. And they're getting the ball out of his hands a bit. So I think Philadelphia has, if whether they've solved him or not, they've certainly slowed him down. Donovan Mitchell's having his way with two of the best. I mean, I think they're older. I think Posey's right. They're a little more focused on offense at this stage of their career, and they're not quite the defenders they used to be, certainly not on a consistent level. But still, he is lighting up Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And I know they're not guarding him a ton, really, a lot. But still, they're the anchors of that defense, and they got nothing for him. 45 in game one, 37 last night in game two. They're up 2-0. And, Rob, the Utah Jazz, after losing their first playoff game without Mitchell to Memphis, they're 6-0 when Donovan Mitchell's on the court. So this dude, man, I said it on First Take. Win or lose, he's going to be viewed as a superstar.
I hope you didn't say it on First Take because that was years ago.
Yeah,
please say you didn't say it on First
Take. I said it on First. Did I say First? I'm sorry. Yeah. First things first. First things first. Win or lose.
What did Stephen A. say when you said it?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that before we go to this break and throw it out to the college. But win or lose, Rob, I think after this series, Donovan Mitchell will be regarded as a superstar. But I'm not going as far as our man, Stephen A. And you know both of us got mad love for Stephen A. He might be listening because he listens to the show.
He listens to the show. He might be driving right now as we speak. Steve, yes. Pull over because Chris is going to rip you. Pull over.
No. I texted Stephen A. the other day. I said, look, he put up his top five point guards if Chris Paul wins the championship this year. And it was Chris Paul 5, Isaiah Thomas 4, Oscar Robertson 3, Steph 2, and Magic 1. And I told him I agree totally with that list if they win it. But Stephen A. said something today, Rob, that I knocked me out of my chair when I heard it.
All I'm going to say is this before you say
it. Knocked you out too.
Steve got caught up and became a prisoner of the moment today. Plain and simple.
Donovan Mitchell is the greatest player in Utah Jazz history.
Just not true.
Steve, could he become that? Maybe. We'll see. There is no way, Rob. Obviously the best player in Utah Jazz history is Karl Malone.
And you could make a case that John Stockton is number two, Chris.
No, not make a case. Right? I think that's clear. Don't you think it's Stockton? I don't think it's close.
So you already got two people in the way, and you're telling us that Donovan Mitchell off of 45 and 37 is the best Utah Jazz player ever? Come on. No.
I even got a third guy that I'm putting ahead of him. No, I'm not going that far.
That's a good name, though, right? That's a good pull. Thurl Bailey?
He was a nice
little
role player.
No, I mean just for Utah Jazz.
Going back. Yes, definitely. That's good on you. How about Adrian Dantley? Adrian Dantley was a straight-up baller. Adrian Dantley is a Hall of Famer. He's a 6-time All-Star. He's a 2-time scoring champ. Rob, here were his numbers in Utah. 28 points a game. 30.7, 30.3, 30.7, 30.6, 26.6, 29.8. Then, as you know, he was traded to Detroit. So he had 4 straight years of averaging 30 or more points a game. I got him 3. And then, you know, like I said, we'll see what Mitchell does. The dude's phenomenal. But no, Rob, come on.
No, that was...
You hit on the head.
That was just... You're looking at the moment, he's playing great, and you want to give him the ultimate compliment, but you just can't bypass history. Like you said, I mean, if you want to go with AD, Adrian Dantley there, Chris, but there's at least 2 rock solid. Karl Malone's the second leading scorer in the history of the NBA, wearing a Jazz uniform every year except for 1 year. What else do you have to say?
And 2 trips to the finals.
Right.
I mean, when you had to go through David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, you know what I mean? Shaq.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our next guest is a multiple-time NBA champion. He was a winner, and he's now the host of the Posecast. It's none other than our man, James Posey. What's up, Pose?
What's up?
How are you, brother?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing great.
Good, man. Great to have you on. Let's get right to it.
Thanks for having me.
Pose, I think outside of Brooklyn, I think the Clippers have more talent than anybody else in the league. And I find them confounding because I don't think they're playing to their talent level. Obviously, they're down 0-2 to Utah, which is a good team, but I say on paper, I like the Clippers' talent more. What do you think? I mean, first of all, do you agree that the Clippers are a bit confounding? And if so, why do you think that is?
Man, I don't know. They're making it tough on themselves, you know. Even the series before, just going down, you know, 0-2. They have to get on the same page, and the stars have to play, you know, well at the same time, both nights. And the role players, I think, have been playing okay. But I just think between Paul George and Kawhi, they both have to tag team the game plan and make their presence felt together. And I think that gives the role players that much more confidence to be able to contribute and help out.
Is it, James? I think sometimes we get carried away and we think that every teams are going to win every game. You're not going to win every game in the NBA. Playing Utah, the number one seed at home, isn't a crime. I'm not saying that the Clippers can't win there, but I think sometimes I remember a couple of years ago when Toronto lost the first two games to Milwaukee, and guess who went to the NBA Finals? That Toronto team that won the next four. Can we overdo it sometimes in overanalyzing and thinking that people can't win because they lose a game on the road?
I mean, yeah, well, it's like Chris said, like when you look at the roster, you just think, you know, the Clippers have great talent over there. And just, you know, Utah, they do things by committee, and they do have Spider over there, too, that's been playing great basketball, you know, mixing it up for them, too. So when you look at it, you just think that the teams with the best talent should just automatically win. But you still have to play the game. And during the playoffs, you know, teams scout. And so now, you know, even though, you know, they play two games, you know, they've been scouted and they know what's coming and what's expected. So now you have to make adjustments come, you know, the second game, but most importantly, the third game.
Because let me say, we saw Ty Lue make adjustments in that Mavericks series, right? He made adjustments, and it worked out for him. They turned the series around. So you do have to make adjustments, right?
Last night.
Yeah, I know Ty Lue can make adjustments, but with those adjustments, you have to make shots as well. And so that's what, you know, as a player individually, you know, you have to step up and make plays when you have those opportunities. And like I said earlier, I just think Kawhi and PG, they just need to, you know, they have to play well together. You know, they just can't, one can't play, you know, outstanding, the other one is playing like a role player. They both have to play like stars.
Pose, when you played, you were a top defender, a top perimeter defender. And Kawhi and Paul George are both regarded as that. But they've been getting lit up. I mean, Luka lit them up. Donovan Mitchell's lighting them up. It looks like they're not close to the defenders that they once were. And maybe they're riding on their reputation. What do you see from them, knowing what it takes to be a top perimeter defender? What do you see from them on that end of the floor that's enabling these other guys to just drop 40 points here and there?
Yeah, I think the load has gotten heavier for them, and they just forgot about the defensive end. And that's why we like those players, the Kawhis and the Paul Georges, because they did it on both ends. And so now it's like they're more catering to the offensive side and being productive there to carry a team where, you know, they were known for doing it on both ends. So I think they have to, you know, accept that challenge more. And even if it's because of fatigue, you know, I think T. Lou would do a good job of getting them rest at the right time. But you have to accept that challenge, and you have to try to shut those guys down. It's been proven those guys have been able to do it before. So I just think now, I want to try my hands. Because, I mean, he's a bad boy. You know, he's been playing well. But just, you know, speaking of those two players, I was like, man, come on. Somebody got to step up and just defend them. But, you know, I guess easier said than done.
Well, let me ask you that, Pose, because, I mean, like you said, Luka was putting up numbers, and to a lot of people, you know, he's obviously not the quickest guy in the world. He's got size, but how would you defend
him? Out of shape.
I mean, he maybe gets tired down the stretch. That's why his numbers might wane in the fourth. I don't know. But how would you attack Luka if you were facing him in the playoff series?
Well, one thing, I mean, honestly, the team, they switch for no reason. And right. I think for me, I think if I'm able just to keep a guy in front of me and live with contested jump shots, you know, he just got to make a lot. You know, he has to make a lot of contested jump shots. And I think the switching, he's able to get a rhythm. He's getting a mismatch, and he's using it to his advantage. So credit him for dissecting that. But I think just trying to keep him in front, you know, he's going to, you know, step back left, you know that. So without giving him everything, just try to keep him in front. And like I said, I know it's easier said than done, but, hey, that will be, you know, sort of my game plan on top of watching more film and see what I could do to him and using all six of my fouls if need be.
What do you think about the Nets? I mean, obviously, there's no Green, there's no Harden. They had an easy way with Milwaukee the first two games in Brooklyn and could have won game three. I mean, there's a couple of shots there in the final 40 seconds that could have been made. They could have stole that game. When you add those other two guys, I mean, can they be beat in a seven-game series if they're all healthy, or can they be beat?
Man, as you talk about that Brooklyn Nets team, they have a lot of firepower over there. And right now, you know, with Kyrie and KD, they're capable of, you know, of carrying that team. You know, you get James back and Jeff Green. Man, I mean, it's going to be tough. I think right now with Milwaukee, they have to find some other scorers to help them out. Giannis has to play big. I think Drew, he has to play big as well. And you just and Middleton, like all three of those guys, they have to play well like every night. And when you talk about, you know, you look at the Brooklyn team, you have guys that's capable of giving you 30 apiece. So with Harden, that's 90 points right there.
Right.
So Milwaukee, they need to find, you know, a crew. I don't know if it's going to be 30 points, but everybody, at least those three have to give you at least 20-plus points. And then your role players have to make, you know, make some plays for you, you know, along the way.
You won your first of two titles playing with Dwayne Wade in Miami. When I look at Donovan Mitchell in Utah, I see Dwayne Wade with a three-point shot. Having played with Wade, you know his game well. Do you see similarities, or what are your thoughts?
He, like D. Wade, man, Donovan, he's doing a great job off the dribble, getting to the basket. You know, he plays above the rim, and now he's at, you know, that three-point shot. Man, I mean, he's playing great, man. I've been excited to watch him play. Even from last year, you know, I thought, you know, he's making steps, but he made a humongous step this year, just being consistent and, you know, knocking down that jump shot and getting to the basket. Like, he's attacking the basket. And so those similarities to D. Wade, that's how D. Wade played as well. He got to the basket. He got to the free throw line. He had a nice mid-range game. And then when he was able just to knock down a few threes here and there, man, you can't stop that kid.
How about speaking of kids, Trae Young has had some postseason. Obviously, they beat the Knicks in the first round. They stole game one in Philadelphia. What have you learned about Trae Young this postseason?
Well, I think he's been waiting for the spotlight, and so he has it. So he's taking advantage, and he's risen to the occasion. It started with in the first round with New York, and now his confidence has grown. And I think a credit to him. And I don't know if it was a coaching change, but for him to trust his teammates more and not try to go out there and do everything himself, I think this worked out better for him. He's been able to play at a high level consistently during that first series. Now, you know, with Philly, I think as a whole, their team just has to play at that faster pace like they played, you know, in game one. If they do that, I think they have a good chance. But Trae, he's been playing great.
We've obviously seen guys, young players, early in their careers come out and play great in the playoffs right away. Jordan, Magic, you know, Bird. I mean, you can go on and on with these all-time greats. LeBron. But does it feel like, I mean, with Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, Ja Morant, Jason Tatum, does it feel like these young guys are just, I don't know if they got more swag or they just not, they're not respecting the older vets or what? Does it feel like that we're seeing more young players kind of shine right out the gate, or is that really not the case?
I think for those guys, you know, coming into the league and watching the league play and watching teams in the playoffs and wishing they had an opportunity to make it to the playoffs, I think they're right now, this is their moment, and they realize that. And that's why they're going out there and they're playing great basketball. They're showcasing their talents. And you see a glimpse during the regular season. But to actually do it the whole season and put yourself in a position to make the playoffs, they are, you know, they're playing great basketball and they're ready for this for the spotlight. And they've been playing great.
All right. That's our man, James Posey.
Thanks, James. The
knowledge, brother.
Appreciate you.
I appreciate y'all, man, anytime.
All right, man. Peace. And check out his podcast, The Pose Cast. It's a great listen.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ladies and gentlemen, vegans and meat eaters, kale chip lovers, ruffle chip lovers, it's time.
This game is so easy.
For Teichert's Tower of Trivia.
That's right. It is Teichert's Tower of Trivia, the segment that proves you don't even got to like sports to work in sports media. And in order to do it properly, we had to bring in our resident DJ, the Weeb Nation King himself, Alex Teichert.
Gentlemen, it's good to be here. How y'all doing tonight? You ready for another riveting edition of me telling you how I know sports?
Or how little you know?
Oh, that's what my paper said. My bad.
Yo, he was bragging to me, Rob, about the other day. He was in the barbershop, and some dudes start talking sports, and he just laid into him with all types of knowledge.
It was so easy.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Aristotle or a young philosopher, you know? People just sitting there talking about LeBronathan James. They just couldn't handle it, man.
And they were like, do you work on The Odd Couple? Where do you get all this knowledge
from? I said, do I work there? I give them their takes, good sir.
Exactly.
All right, let's do it, Robbie.
So you guys should have the topics in your inbox right now. And because the Suns are playing in about 30 minutes, tipping off a game 3 against the Nuggets, this is a very special Chris Paul edition of Teichert's Tower of Trivia.
That means this will be over quickly.
I mean,
right?
Someone's going to pull a hammy in the middle of this segment. All right, here we go. I flipped the coin. Rob Parker's getting the first crack at question number one.
Let's go, Rob.
Rob, Chris Paul's only made it past the second round of the playoffs once in his career, back when he played with James Harden and the Houston blank.
Missiles.
Rockets.
That is correct.
I like it.
Come on, we ain't got time.
Let's go. Anyway, he knew that.
I like that.
He knew Houston Rockets.
Come on, you see how I did that? Let's go, Chris.
We vibing.
Here we go. Question number two, over to Chris. Chris, CP3 has a lengthy injury history, as you know. In fact, he's only played a full 82-game season one time in his career. That was back when he played for the Lob City blank.
Jeez.
Kawhi.
Hold up. Clippers.
That is correct.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's go.
That's a clue.
Thinking outside the box, both of you guys. I like it.
Look at you.
Get in the hang of things. Here we go. Question number three. Getting a little tougher going up Teichert's Tower of Trivia. Rob, Chris Paul's been bouncing around the NBA the last few years, played for a few teams, but he did play the first 6 years of his career for one franchise. That would be the New Orleans / Oklahoma City blank.
Oh, gosh.
Green?
It's not right, but the first thing that popped in my head was eggs.
That is incorrect.
I'm sorry.
That's a good clue. The name of an NBA
here
team?
We go.
Yeah, here we go, Alex.
Wasp.
Hornet?
That's correct.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you were saying Green Hornet. My bad.
Get the bongos ready.
I felt like Rob had the setup on that one.
How many times did he capitalize on my clues?
No, that's
Green Hornet.
Yeah,
he does that every week.
I've never seen any of that, Rob. So just didn't. Okay. Yeah,
I've noticed that the further we get up the tower,
that show went off in 1969.
I know.
What do you think he knows that?
Rob, 1969, Chris.
His parents weren't even born by then.
The further we go up, the guy who goes second usually has a head start. It usually works out the guy who's second.
Don't be watering down. My great clue.
I'm just gonna give you a secret here, guys. I react to your clue instantly. So if you give me green, I'm gonna say eggs. You know.
All right, here we go. Green eggs and eggs.
They did make a remake of Green Hornet in 2011. Hello.
11. I was just getting out of high school.
All right, here we go. Question number four over to Chris. Chris can put some distance between himself and Rob if he gets this win.
Let's go see.
Chris Paul, such a high level point guard. Some in the basketball circles like to refer to him as the point blank.
Jesus.
God.
That is correct.
It's over.
Let's go.
It's over.
Let's go.
Get the bongos queued up.
We got plenty of time, though, Rob. Plenty of time for the comeback. Comeback starts here.
You the Clippers, man. Yeah.
Rob Parker.
Yeah, right, in the first round. Go ahead.
If you didn't know that Chris Paul was a basketball player, you probably know him as his alter ego, Blank Paul, a State Farm insurance agent.
What?
This is impossible.
You're telling me.
I got two good ones in the chamber.
Blank Paul? Oh, gosh.
State Farm insurance agent, Blank Paul.
Okay. What do you got, Rob?
Off the...
Hold on. That is two words.
What? No, it ain't.
And that ain't even real words.
It's just
an ebonics.
He's a
sound. He's thinking ebonics
with
two words.
That was ebonics clue.
All right, no. just for fun, let's give Alex a chance to guess off of that.
I'm still not going to get it.
I get the points, though. He cheating.
Chris, don't have that much faith
just,
in me.
Just take a guess.
The word is ofta.
Ofta. I'm going to guess, and it's probably terribly wrong. So, ofta.
Yeah, he gets this right.
I'm not going to. hold on. Ofta Paul. this is probably wrong, Rob. I'm sorry, but Hook? Hook Paul?
That is incorrect.
Ofta Hook? I'm sorry.
Here we go. I'm going to go to one of my tried and true strategies.
Good luck beating Ofta.
All right. Stiff.
I could have went Rob Parker there and done a bad joke. Stiff.
But
Cliff?
The way I said
Cliff, that is correct.
It's over.
Let's go.
Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen.
I got a bad connection here. I got hello. Hello.
Hey, Ofta was the highlight of this segment.
Come on,
Ofta.
Off the drill.
I wouldn't have got that.
That's two words. I should win 2 weeks for that.
You know what, Rob? If you would have said ledge, I would have been like Cliff, you know?
Yeah, you know what? Of course. It was a good, you were looking for a good clue. And let me ask you this. If I had said Huxtable, would you have known that?
No, you wouldn't have got that.
Okay.
Not Huxtable.
The Cosby Show, Cliff Huxtable.
Was it?
I was trying to think of Cliff going up. On Cheers, right? Was he the mailman, Cliff?
Wasn't it Cliff? Was it? Yeah, it was Cliff. It was Cliff. But yeah. I don't know what he wouldn't have got that.
There's no way.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, Rob, right. I know that you got MLBBro.com, which is blowing up nationwide. Fun fact for you, Alex is launching a competing website called MLB Dude.
That's right. You be ready. You better be ready.
For the dude who looks like you.
Anybody named Brad or Chad, hit me up.
Right. Hey, covering Brad or Chad.